David, thank you very much. Greg Bays, Bill Fleishley. Let me welcome all of you to Springfield. Let me acknowledge and thank the leadership of your organizations for the very fine and commendable work that they do representing you before Illinois government, including the legislature. Working with your organizations in the last few years, together with my office, we've enjoyed some very notable successes. So as an example, just a few years ago, I think it was about 2 years ago, we were able to successfully negotiate changes in the state workers' compensation statute, which were viewed by all is beneficial to both labor and business and to the people of the state of Illinois. Very recently, at the end of the last calendar year, again, working together, we were able to craft changes in a proposed increase in the Illinois minimum wage, which weren't completely acceptable to your people, to your organizations, but yet there were significant changes in the bills so that there was a certain level of acceptance in the increase in the Illinois minimum wage. So we have solid instances where there has been cooperation, the ability to come together and to make intelligent, meaningful changes in the Illinois statutes and in the operations of Illinois government. Today, as we gather in Springfield, we are looking at yet another challenge. Governor Blagojevich has proposed the imposition of a gross receipts tax upon businesses doing business in the state of Illinois. Many of you have already communicated with me, either directly or through others, and you have made your points. You've pointed out that the imposition of a gross receipts tax in this state and not in other states would constitute an impediment to doing business in this state, which would not be helpful to the overall Illinois economy. In addition, you've made the point that although it's advertised as a tax on a business, in reality, there's going to be a pass-through to other businesses and to the ultimate consumer. These are all valid points. They're points that are being made at a time when the Illinois government does have a serious fiscal problem. The Civic Committee of the Commercial Club of Chicago has brilliantly addressed the fiscal problems of this state. They issued a 40-page report at the beginning of this year that spoke to the problems of the state, suggested remedies for those problems of the state. And my view is that all of this ought to be taken in a full and open process. There are serious problems to be addressed. The governor has made a very serious proposal, and in his mind, it's a very well-intentioned and a good proposal. But everybody should have a chance to participate in this. Everybody should have a chance to participate in a process that is open to all, every citizen of the state of Illinois. And therefore, I plan to convene a committee of the whole of the Illinois House of Representatives next Wednesday, convening at 9 a.m., to completely receive all proposals and objections to the imposition of a gross receipts tax. For those of you that are not frequent around the legislature, the convening of a committee of the whole is an extraordinary measure. We only do it once or twice during a session, maybe not even that. We've gone through sessions where we've never had committee of the wholes. But my view is that the governor's proposal, along with your reaction and comment to that proposal, are significant to the point where we ought not to handle this in just an ordinary committee of the House of Representatives. We plan to take it before a full committee of the whole. I'm sure that Greg Bays, Dave Veit, Bill Fleishley will be anxious to participate in those deliberations next Wednesday starting at 9 a.m. Since I'm going to take questions, I'm prepared to move to my concluding remarks, which are real simple. As Dave pointed out, I've been here a long time. Some people think that Abe Lincoln and I served together in the legislature. They're misinformed. I came here in 1971. My first day of work was in January of 1971. And over in the House of Representatives, a representative did not have an office. They did not have a secretary. And in those days, nobody had cell phones, and so we didn't have a telephone. We had about 8 to 10 phones outside the chamber, which were available for our use when available. There were a pool of secretaries that would actually come down to the floor of the House and attempt to take dictation on the floor. So those were the conditions in 1971. If you've been over to the Capitol and to the Stratton Building, why, conditions have greatly improved. Everybody's got a nice office. It's become a spacious office. Everybody has their own secretary, and it's become a very full-time occupation for, I now think, a majority of the members of the legislature. That has brought on significant changes in the process for considering legislation. It has brought on significant changes in the process of deliberating by the members of the legislature. It wasn't so long ago that all major decisions of the legislature were made pretty much quick and down and dirty on the last few days of the session, and then everybody left town in a big hurry. That's all changed. And you now have a very committed group of people that work in the legislature. They are very interested in learning issues and receiving comments from anyone who wishes to comment about pending legislation. Consequently, it takes longer to move legislation. It takes longer to make major policy decisions concerning the future direction and growth of the state of Illinois. That's all good. That's all good. On your side of that, it means that you should be here more often. You should have more people here. You should establish a linkage with your individual legislators so that at all times, but especially in times of stress, like when a governor is proposing a gross receipts tax, you can pick up that telephone and talk to your member of the legislature. So again, thank you for being here. Thank you for what you do in the governmental process of Illinois. Too many people minimize that, and that's a serious mistake, because for any government anywhere in the world to function properly, there's got to be a very significant level of participation by those who are subject to the government. So again, thank you for being here. Thank you for inviting me. And why don't we take your questions? Fire away. Anybody? Yes, sir.
Mr. Speaker, thank you for coming here today and having a dialogue with us. We appreciate that. I guess the question is there any room inside the budget for reducing state spending?
The question is it actually possible to reduce state spending? And the answer is extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. That would be the case in most states. It's the case pretty much at the federal level in Washington, D.C. It's something that's alien as to how you operate your business. And so if your receipts are down, you reduce your expenditure. That's the last thing that government wants to hear about. Government is driven by special interest constituencies that are omnipresent at the government and at the legislature. So you've gathered here today. At the same time, there are thousands of school teachers gathered over at the Capitol building arguing for more money for education. That's just one area. In the area of social services, administered by the Illinois Department of Human Services, there are always commendable proposals to add yet another function to the social welfare provision of services by the state of Illinois. And over time, the groups and the individuals that argue for these additions or increases are successful, in part because they're very persistent, and they're always here. And the one that is the real engine driving the increases would be education, elementary and secondary and higher education. So you can select the most conservative members of the legislature, the people that run in their campaigns on brochures that they're very conservative and they want to cut back on government. But when it comes time to decide how much money their school district is going to get in the next budget, they're right at the front of the line. And they want to know, okay, what happens with my school district and how much of an increase is my school district going to get? So I know you don't like the answer, but that's just the way it is. Anybody else?
Your proposal.
Sir, here's one here.
I'm sorry. Your proposal, for what you said, is there's nothing we can do about the expense side. Besides the gross receipt tax, what else are people talking about on the revenue?
Proposed increase, which has received a lot of discussion and debate, is being advanced by Senator Meeks and Representative Miller in the House. That's labeled a swap proposal. And the concept of the proposal is a significant increase in statewide taxes with a corresponding decrease in real estate taxes. In addition, there would be a tax relief in the terms of an item called a family credit. And in addition, I believe they want to work with what's called the earned income tax credit. In addition to all of that, why there's very significant and generous increases for education. They also want to deal with a term called the structural deficit. That's a nice term that's used to describe what the Civic Committee of the Commercial Club talked about in their report, which is that the state is in serious debt. We've taken on too much debt, and that there should be a reduction in that. And it is good that they recognize that, and they talk about it in terms of what they want to do. They would raise the income tax, both on individuals and corporations, and they would also raise sales taxes. Now, the document I just read this morning pointed out that the increase in that bill talk in terms of increasing the tax on personal services but not business services. I'm not sure what that means. Bottom line, they want to work with the income tax and the sales tax, and that's a multi-billion dollar program. I think it's over $8 billion of increase and expenditure. Okay? That's Meeks and Miller. GRT is the governor. In the House of Representatives, among the Democrats, we've already started a process where we've gone to our members and simply said to them, look, we're moving toward the end of the session, and we think it's important that all of us now start to deal with the question of a possible tax increase. And we've asked people to ask themselves four questions. Number one, would you be willing to vote for a tax increase? Number two, what is the tax? Three, what level of increase? And four, for what purpose? And I pointed out to the people that I've spoken to that the answer to number four pretty much drives the first three. So our process in the House is going to be to go to our people, tell them the fiscal condition of the state, begin with that first question. Not every one of them wants to vote for a tax increase. And then move through the remaining questions. And I think, and I've told some of them, that I think it's going to be a very interesting exercise. And for many of them, it's going to be informative and very difficult. Because they're going to be asked to walk the line for a tax increase for what purpose? And of course, the purposes that I know of just from conversations around the legislature would be education, health care, and here the governor is talking about universal health care. Others are talking about just getting current on our payments to healthcare providers that service people in the Medicaid program and in the state insurance program. In addition, there are people that feel that we ought to be working to provide more money for transportation, road construction and maintenance, mass transit, and mainly up in northern Illinois. So those are the topics that come to mind now that would be responsive to my question on for what purpose. That's the process that we're going to follow in the House. Yes, sir. It's a possibility going forward because the Illinois Constitution has a section which gives constitutional protection to those that are vested. So the opportunity going back is not there. But going forward, you could change the pensions. You could change the benefit level. You could change the number of years for vesting. You could change the number of the age at which the pension can be drawn. It's an opportunity. It won't, again, it won't be easy, but it is an opportunity. And just to fully answer the question, the organizations and the associations that represent state workers, unions, will object and be in opposition. And remember that one of those unions that will be standing in opposition will be the teachers' unions. And I raise that because teachers teach in all sections of the state. They teach in the Democratic districts, they teach in the Republican districts. And again, when teachers are at work over in the Capitol building, I find that all members of the legislature, Democrats and Republicans, want to be listening and they want to be responsive if possible. So that's why there would be difficulty in the proposal. I think it's something that ought to be examined and given very serious consideration. And that also was dealt with in the report out of the Civic Committee in Chicago. Get some more, Dave. This is encouraging. Let me just say that I knew well in advance that the governor was going to propose a gross receipts tax. I don't recall now how I learned about it, but I knew before he came into the legislature with his proposal that he was going to propose a gross receipts tax.
Did you have the opportunity to discuss that with him before it became public?
I had the opportunity. If he were here, he might say that the speaker declined the opportunity. Okay. Well, listen, have a great time. Enjoy yourselves.
Speaker, while you're leaving, I just would like you to know that while I have from time to time talked about your tenure in the Illinois General Assembly, I have never mentioned Abraham Lincoln in that same introduction.